Papa, we love you. Lord, before the foundations of the earth, you knew that we would get connected and become friends. And Lord, watch what you're doing. Lord, I thank you for our leader in the UK and actually in Europe, Lord, as he's vice president of Foursquare Europe. Lord, I thank you. The reports I hear over and over, you are moving. Western Europe, Eastern Europe, you are doing amazing things. So, Papa, this morning, give us ears to hear. Lord, we bless our dear friend, and we thank you for our friendship in Jesus' name. Amen. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
All right.
Good morning. It's still morning. Yeah, good morning. Oh, what a joy, what a privilege to be with you and also to share God's word. How wasn't that an amazing time of worship this morning? See, each time we come into the presence of God, we should expect something new. We should expect something supernatural because God is supernatural. Hallelujah. Turn with me to the book of Galatians. I'm continuing the series that you guys have been studying on, a great book. And come, Holy Spirit, give us revelation. Give us revelation, Father. This morning, I want to share with you on walking free. Anyone wants to walk free?
Yeah.
A heavenly lifestyle for those who are in Christ. It's not something far away, but it's something now. It's something real. And, you know, we were created for freedom. As Paul says, for freedom, Christ has set us free. Amen? Stand firm, therefore. Do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. And, you know, as Paul talks about freedom, see, freedom is living as we should. Living as we should, as we were designed to live. If you read Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, it talks about how God created Adam and Eve in God's likeness and in his image. And we know the story, how, you know, they fell. And his plan, his concept, kind of, there was corruption. But God did not give up on humanity. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. You know, isn't that wonderful that God does not give up on us? You know, that's the goodness of God. That's the kindness of God. Even how many of us have messed up? We've all messed up, right? I was just kind of seeing who the religious hands were who were not going up. Now, you know, even when we mess up, God takes responsibility. That's what he did even in the garden. And right in the garden, he says, he puts into place the plan of redemption. And it's interesting because when we see Jesus as that's whom we were supposed to look like. That's whom we were created in that image. But when we see Jesus, we also see him as that's whom we are being transformed into. So it's amazing, like when you see Jesus, you see two aspects. He's what I was supposed to be like, and he's what I'm being transformed into. And so as Paul says, you know, for freedom, Christ has set us free. So freedom comes from Jesus. Freedom is only in Christ. Freedom is not, there is no war, there is peace. That's not freedom. True freedom is how was I supposed to live or how am I supposed to live? And, you know, when we look at that first verse, you know, just asking ourselves three things. What has Jesus done? He has set us free. And sometimes you may be thinking, but I'm not free right now. I'm having struggles. I had some struggles this last week. But when it says that for freedom, Christ has set us free, it's saying he has put us on a plane of freedom. And it's a journey of freedom. We begin with freedom. We don't journey towards freedom. We begin with freedom. And he begins to unravel. He begins to bring revelation. He begins to peel off, like an onion, layers that keep binding us. Like Pastor Craig said earlier, we don't fight for victory. We fight from victory. We fight from victory. See, that's what Christianity is. That's what Christ has done. He's already achieved. He's already set us into a place, like it says in Colossians, where he's translated us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his Son. So we are already in the kingdom. Hallelujah. We are already in the path of freedom. And then it says, you know, what has he set us free for? For freedom. So it's almost like, you know, you kind of, wherever you go, there is freedom. And when did he do this? 2,000 years ago, but even right now. Even right now. He's not stopped that process of transformation. He's not stopped taking us towards that ultimate freedom. Because freedom is in Christ. And so Paul here says, for freedom, Christ has set us free. And he says, look, stand firm. Stand firm. Stand your ground. It's almost the position of a warrior. Where, you know, where it says, you know, I'm not giving in right now. I'm kicking my heels in. I'm standing firm on what Christ has done. Because these guys were coming saying, look, what Christ has done is not enough. You have to be circumcised. And Paul is saying, you know, in verse 2, he says, I, Paul. Look, I, Paul. And he's saying, I've done that. Been there. It's not worked. You know, I thought killing a couple of Christians, you know, would kind of, you know, get me into a better place. The only thing that happened to me was I met Christ. You know, I know the Hebrew scriptures. You know, I have been an intellectual. But nothing of that has helped me to become righteous before Christ. Only Jesus has made me righteous. Hallelujah. So freedom is only found in Christ. And we have a choice. Whom do we come under? You know, Paul was like so angry, even with the guys who had come and said, look, you know, you all the Gentiles need to get circumcised. He's saying, you know, the moment you take away what Christ has done and you start adding to that, say, you cut yourself off from all grace. That's huge. You cut off yourself from all grace. So this morning, you know, I want to share with you on, you know, about this journey. But see, again, the legalistic mindset says, I have to do more to achieve. I have to do something extra. You know, how many of you, when you make a mistake, when you fall, you feel like forgiveness is not enough? Come on, because that's what comes naturally to us. That needs to be peeled off us. And that takes a process. That takes a journey. How many of you know that Christianity is not an instant release or a, you know, instant mechanism, but it's a journey. A journey that we are committed to. A journey that is good because ultimately we become Christ-like. But legalism or religion says it's not enough. I need to do stuff to be somebody. But yet grace says you are somebody already. You are a son of God. You are a daughter of God. We are moving towards maturity in him. Because I am a son of God, I can do. Not I do things to become a son of God. You know, we have two boys and you know, when they were born, we didn't say, okay, guys, if you perform, if you do this, and this, you will be our sons. How many of your parents said that? Come on. The moment they were born, they were your sons. Yeah, that's right. Actually, not even before they were born, when they were conceived, they became your children. That's how our papa sees us. I am a son. I don't have to earn my sonship. Because he's already established my sonship. You know, the prodigal son came back thinking, I've lost my sonship. And so I will be a servant. I will be a slave. But what was the father saying? Sorry. Wrong plan. Once a son, always a son. And he established him back into sonship. He gave him a ring. He gave him a cloak. He gave him, you know, sandals. And then what did he do? He marches him through the city. Marches him through the city and saying, this is my son. This is my son. That's what Jesus did. That's what the Father did over Jesus. Which is an example for us. This is my son in whom I am well pleased. The Father didn't say, okay, Jesus, heal people, deliver people, preach some good sermons, then you will be my son. No, this is my son. And I believe some of you need to hear that this morning. That you don't have to achieve, you don't have to earn your sonship or your daughtership. But you are a child of God. Hallelujah. And so this morning I'm going to share with you very quickly the essentials for a lifestyle of freedom. You're called to freedom. Our destiny is freedom. Say freedom.
Freedom.
And the first one is commitment to be restored in my being or in my image. See, before we can be free to do, we have to be free within us. We have to be free within us, free in our being. And see, what Jesus is doing is, what the Holy Spirit is doing is, he's bringing us back into that image. Genesis 1:26, we were created in the image of God. An image, as the word says, is how you look like. You know, how you look like in your inner man, in your being. We were created to look like Christ inside of us. See, many of us, you know, we spend hours, you know, looking at ourselves in the mirror, you know, getting ourselves prim and proper. Ladies, gents, okay, not you guys, but, you know, this happens in England. But he also wants us to focus on our heavenly image. Do you know that each one of you have a heavenly image? The image of your Father. The image of God that we were created into. And, you know, it's where we have to make that choice. We have to, you know, go on that journey. And here in verses 5 and 6, because I want to kind of look at some of those words there. It says, for through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. This is Paul talking. He's saying, we are not getting circumcised up. You know, it's not about that. It's not about the outer expression, but it's about the inner expression. It's about the heavenly expression of who we are. And he says, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. Faith working through love. You know, I had put in my notes, I said, don't be a seat warmer, but be a transformer. See, we're called into transformation. And, you know, it's not about just coming to church and doing a service and going back. But real church is Monday to Saturday. Real church is, what am I doing back home, what I hear today? What God's done here, what he has empowered me, what am I doing with that? How am I allowing myself to be restored back into the image that I was originally created into? We are on that journey. And so Paul talks about faith. See, faith is about trust. It's about aligning ourselves. It's about belief. But it is also what connects us to God. Faith connects us to God. That's why Jesus would, you know, many times say, tell people, he never told people, have faith so that there will be a miracle. He said, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Why? When we have faith in God, we have hope. When we have faith in the answer, we don't have hope. Life comes from the Father. Life comes from God. And that's why the writer of Hebrews says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Why impossible? Because God loves us so much, he wants us connected with him. He wants us connected so that there'll be life coming from him to us. And so faith connects us with God. And then he talks about love. He says, you know, faith working through love. So as we are connected, we place ourselves for the love of God to flow into us. for God's love to flow into us. But here's the beauty. It's not just love flowing. It's God himself flowing into us. 1 John 4 says, you know, 1 John 4:16, I believe, says, God is love. So as we are connected with him in faith, God manifests himself in us by his Spirit. Isn't that amazing? God is not far away. God is so near that we don't realize it, that he's right in us. And so, you know, faith is what connects me, but love flows from him. And what does the Holy Spirit do? The Holy Spirit seals everything together. It seals everything together. See, my image changes and I become restored through my heavenly relationship. Period. I cannot change my image by going through, you know, 5 steps of whatever, or if Christ is not involved. If Christ is not involved. Because there's an alignment that we were created for. And if we are not within that alignment of relationship, our image cannot, even from where are we going to get that heavenly image? It's only by him manifesting himself and transforming us. You know, I would encourage you to start, you know, there are, you know, all of us have struggles, right? All of us have weak areas. There's no one who does not. If you don't have, let me remind you that lying is a sin. Just saying. But work with the Lord. Bring some of those areas and say, Lord, I'm ready. I'm ready to work on those things. Don't allow them to eat you up so that it brings shame, judgment, condemnation. That's what the law brings. God wants freedom. God wants freedom. And the Holy Spirit, you know, first brings us to a healthy and a strong place before we can do anything else. So often we blame people for where we are. I believe we need to say, Father, where am I in you? Father, how's my identity? How's my value? How's my image? How am I looking? And sometimes the Father may say, well, you know, there's a bit of hair not in the right place. You know, like, you know, this week I was like, oh yeah, I want to brush my hair, but I couldn't find any hair. There's freedom. But you know, I'm just joking, but here's the thing. There's a reality in that. We sometimes go back to what we have been freed from. My image, his image in me. Number 2. A commitment to restore Christ-like behavior and relationships. It's about a commitment to be restored in the likeness of God. So image and likeness are 2 different things. Image is what you look like. Likeness is how you live that out. How you behave. How you function. So we are called to function out of God's expression in us. We're not called to function out of what my neighbor tells me or what my neighbor thinks about me. And that's what we have got trapped into. That's what God wants to free us from. Verse 13 says, for you are called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. But here's the thing. Through love, serve one another. Through love, serve one another. It's interesting. Through the manifestation of love, begin to serve one another. So which means my freedom I receive from Christ in me, but that gets worked out by those around me. Ugh. How many times have you said, I really hate that person. I really don't like to be near that person. But guess what? God uses that person to help us become free. And that's who God is, because God is a relationship. And if we've been called and created in his image and likeness, then we are also called to function like God in unity, in oneness. And here's the thing. At times we find people difficult. We find them difficult. Come on, I'm talking reality, right? We find people difficult when there are still cracks in my image. When there are cracks in my image. And the more my image gets transformed, the more easier it becomes. So that even when my neighbor looks at me and says, huh, I can still say, God bless you, man, I love you. Why? My image has come into place. I'm functioning not out of his expression of me. I'm functioning out of God's expression in me. In me. And so, you know, we go back, you know. Do you know what? I think the Galatian church loved their barbecues. Don't you think so? Because the word of God says that, you know, he says, if you bite and devour one another. So I'm like, wow, they like their human steaks. Okay, that's a bit of a British joke. You know, they have been killing each other. And sometimes it's because, you know, how many times we kind of hold on to some concept or some idea and we don't let go of that. We don't chef because that is what's right. And we will even kill somebody for that, forgetting we're damaging relationships. And Paul was saying, look, just because you have been brought into freedom, you do not have the right to treat your brother or to treat your sister in a demeaning manner, to hurt them, and not honor them or do anything to harm them. So he says, through love, serve one another. And that word serve is really, in the Greek, there's a context of being a slave. He's saying, be a slave to one another. Now, you know, it's the context is about be a slave, be committed to do the best for each other. That's what the slavery is about. It's not the old slavery we think of being in chains and, you know, it's not that. He's talking about saying, do the best for one another. Be committed to one another. Be committed to your relationship. Be committed to function as you were created to function. That flows out of image into likeness. So a lot of the times the flesh tells us that, or my flesh tells Krishani, you need to behave as I want you to behave. What is that? See, my flesh demands. My flesh demands that you change according to my likes and dislikes. How many times has God demanded that from us? You know, I'm preaching this to myself. See, that's because there's so much of selfishness, so much of pride, and rebelliousness in us. And that's what we are being freed out of. That's what we are being freed out of. Because we've been freed into loving people, into valuing people. You know, I've spoken here about value, the value of Christ in my brother, and to become a servant. And see, freedom is worked out in the great commandment, loving God and loving my brothers as I love myself. How do I love myself? By allowing the image of Christ to be developed and transformed. So that out of that image, I'm able to love someone. It doesn't mean that you're never going to get hurt. No. You're going to have certain issues, but you're going to be able to be healed faster. You're going to be working on that because through my brother, God says, can you see that area that is broken? Can you see that area that is broken? See, the more we try to hide it, the more we try to kind of put things under, we are going to struggle. We are going to suffer. The relationships are going to suffer. But because when we start working on our image inside and allowing likeness to be restored, that's when people are going to say, what's that love about? And that's why Jesus said, people will say, by this they will know you, by the way that you love one another. So there's a huge responsibility, but also a commitment for ourselves. And so, you know, just take a look at this, you know, same diagram, but now it's kind of expanded. See, the earlier the love was God manifesting himself in me. But now, so that was vertical. But now love goes horizontal. Love goes horizontal. And serving is about my brother. Is about giving myself to him, giving myself to her. So Jesus not only loved us, but he came to serve us. So having a commitment to allow the image to work out into the likeness, into my relationships. And very quickly, the third one is a commitment to live life in the full indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, we cannot do anything. That's why Jesus said, don't go anywhere until the Spirit comes. See, if you read from verses 16 right down to the end, you see Paul using different phraseology about the Spirit. Verse 16 says, walk by the Spirit. Verse 18, be led by the Spirit. 22 and 23, flow in the fruit of the Spirit, or allow the fruit of the Spirit to be created in you. Verse 25, live by the Spirit. And I love the last one, keep in step with the Spirit. Keep in step. Don't go ahead. Don't lag behind. Keep in step. What does it all tell us? Nothing can be done without the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit in us. Him becoming your friend, him becoming your partner, him becoming everything. So that even the image that is changed in me, he's helping me. Even in my relationships, even working that likeness out, he's helping me. But a commitment to freedom and health, healthy relationships begins with the desire and partnership with the Holy Spirit. Him developing his character in us. You know, very quickly, take a look at the fruit of the Spirit. You know, verses 22 and 23. You know, it talks about love, joy, peace. See, God has given us the fruit of the Spirit, not for us to feel good about ourselves, but it is to help us to have relationship with one another as Jesus would have relationship. Oh, man. Love, joy, peace. Where does that come from? Comes from the Father. Comes from the Godhead. Remember the great commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, you know, soul, and strength. So as you spend time, as you connect with him through faith, he begins to develop that love, joy, and peace. Sitting at his feet, spending time. You know, Psalm 91 says, he who dwells, not he who visits. He who dwells in the secret place. See, out of the presence. Then you have patience, kindness, and goodness. Anyone needed patience this morning? See, where does patience, kindness, goodness come from? Comes from my brother and my sister. It comes in my relationship. That is where likeness is developed. You shall love your neighbor. Man, how many of you would say, I really love, you know, if I can just pick and choose? Come. And the final three aspects of the fruit is faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's from our relationship with the indwelling presence. Loving God and loving people as I love myself. Loving myself is getting myself into order. Committing to say, I know it's hard, I know it's painful, but I'm going to get myself into order. And that's why, you know, our lifestyle is a lifestyle of discipleship. You know, we had level one guys, you know, level two coming up. You know, this is all about that. Level one, level two is not something that, you know, Pastor Craig or Billy kind of came up with. This is what life is. This is what Christianity is. To becoming healthy and being free. Being free. And God's called us into freedom. He's died. He's given his life for our freedom. And it's not just an idea. It's not just a thought. But it's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. Because, see, if you read even the last verse there, it says, you know, let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Paul is like, come on, guys, please get this. He's saying, when you live in the presence of the Holy Spirit and in the indwelling, he will bring relationships together. He will cause peace. He will cause unity. He will cause oneness. But we need to receive. We need to live in that. You know, in December, I was in Italy speaking at a conference, and we had like 18 pastors and leaders. Some of them had not spoken to each other for 20 years. And God did a miracle. I was talking about the presence of God. And as they began to experience the manifest presence of God, God began to touch their hearts. See, that goes back to image. And as God began to do that, I felt I just needed to put out an invitation. I said, how many of you want to unite? Because Jesus has united us. And for the sake of the gospel of this nation, all of them came out of their seats and held hands, repented, prayed for one another, and said, We want to move into a movement of unity. See, that's what the Holy Spirit does. When we allow him to work in our image, it flows out in that likeness. And God can do so many miracles out of that. It's so easy to blame somebody. But let's say, Lord, how's my image looking this morning? How am I looking this morning, Lord? So let's go into prayer. Let's pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. And I want us to just take a moment and really, what did the Holy Spirit speak to you this morning? Maybe there's an area that you've been struggling with or you've been fighting. And I just sense that there are some of us, we just need to open our hands and say, Lord, come. I can't do this alone. Like we saw even in that trailer, not by might nor by power, but by his Spirit. By his Spirit. Freedom comes from Jesus. Freedom is in Jesus. And so this morning, I believe, you know, I've not shared anything new. It's something that you already know. It's a journey you are on. But it's like I may have highlighted certain things. And I believe that's what the Lord wants to highlight for you. So I want to just give you a few minutes to respond individually to almost the invitation of the Holy Spirit for a deeper work in you so that image can be restored further. Likeness can be restored. And even committing yourselves into a lifestyle of moving in, living in the presence of God. And even as we are, you know, bowing our heads, and maybe there could be someone here this morning, you're here for the first time. Or, you know, you've never come to a place of opening your heart to Jesus. Maybe someone invited you. If you are in that place this morning. And there's something in your heart that's tugging you to say, hey, I want that freedom. The first step, like I said, it's about faith. It's about connecting with Jesus. Because he may be tapping on our doors, on the door of our hearts. And if you are here saying, yeah, I want to know Jesus, I want to, you know, come into that place of relationship, just put your hand up if there's anyone here. Thank you, Father. Praise God. You know, I would encourage you to come and talk to one of the leaders if you put your hand up. But, you know, sometimes we need to even, you know, come together and pray in agreement with someone, you know, on what the Holy Spirit has been kind of massaging into us. You know, He's called us into freedom. And I believe, you know, the prayer team is going to be here this morning where you could come and pray together. But even, you know, Krishan, you have anything? Come. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just be in prayer. As Krishani comes up and shares what the Lord has laid on her heart. But
I've just been seeing this picture for the second service, and it's a picture of just rain falling down. And when there's rain outside, you know, we all take umbrellas. And this morning I sense God asking us to position ourselves to come under His umbrella, to come under His protection, to come under that place that is so, so safe for us, that we don't have to struggle, we don't have to find it hard. There are many of us here, you were carrying heavy loads in your thought realm, in your heart, in your emotions. Because it's a battle for us every day as we look at ourselves in the mirror. It's a battle. And this morning I sense God just saying, my son, my daughter, just come under. Come under my presence. So right now just imagine yourself coming under His presence and position yourself so that you can function so freely. Even if you are in that battle right now, you can function freely because your position will be different. I sense the Lord will be changing your atmospheres as you walk into your homes of confusion maybe. God will change it because today, right now, you made a decision to change. You made a decision to say, God, I'm going to walk hand in hand with you. And I'm positioning myself to come under your presence. I also sense the Lord as you will be dealing with what the Holy Spirit is saying to you right now. The Spirit of God is just hovering around this room so strongly. And I sense the Lord wanting to heal some of you this morning. There's a person here, you are having intestinal problems. Jesus wants to touch you and heal you right now. Right now, just feel God's presence over you right now as you leap. Maybe even keep your hand where your stomach is affected. Just believe that Jesus is touching you and healing you right now. There's another person here. You are having sleepless nights. You have anxiety and stress in you. And you wake up with such a fright almost. God is speaking peace over you right now. I believe you are a sister in the house, and God is speaking shalom over your mind, over your heart. Oh, just receive that right now in Jesus' name. It's also another person here. I sense that there is pain in your right hand And it just keeps traveling from the tips of your fingers right up to your neck area. And sometimes you feel such a pressure in your head. I sense it's the right side. And God wants to touch you right now and bring healing and set you free. You are almost fearful of this pain. And God is just wanting to set you free right now. Be free in Jesus' name. There's also a couple here. God's been ministering to you even through the message and through the worship. God wants to bring peace over your relationship. That even when you go back home this morning, that you will change the atmosphere just by you making the decision right now that you are going to come under His presence of love. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
You know, just stretch your hands to the Lord, almost a position of receiving. Oh, so Holy Spirit, come. Continue to fill us. Lord, we sang about the new wine. Lord, let us just drink of your presence even this morning. Let us be filled more with your presence. Ah. More of you, Lord.
Jesus, come.
More of who you are in us. Oh, Lord, bring freedom this morning. A supernatural move. The mindsets, hearts, even healing. As Jesus said, come to me, those who are thirsty and drink. Just take even by just 1 minute and just drink. Drink of His presence. Oh. Just receive more and more. Amen.
Can I ask if our prayer teams would come? Would you guys stand with us? I want to take time and pray for any and all people, but especially those words of knowledge that would have been you physically. Let us agree and come and pray with you about that. Also, how many of you guys, this is home for you. This is your home church. Put your hand up really high. Okay. I need all of you guys to be here in about 20 minutes because it's our annual meeting. And we have important property issues to vote on this year. So more than normal years, you guys need to be here because officially and according to our bylaws, we need you to vote. And so we're going to pray. Cafe will be open, I believe, and hang out. And then we're going to be meeting back here in about 20 minutes. Any of you that want to be involved in drama, improv, fun, crazy, bold, exciting, you're an introvert. Wow, there's hope for us. If you need prayer, come, you guys. You don't have to wait. Come. Let's all stand. I just want to speak prayer blessing over all of you guys today. But if you were any of those people that needed or had that word of knowledge about physical things, or if you say, well, she didn't say my physical thing. How many guys know God still wants to heal you? God's word is come, and let's pray together. Amen. Let's all stand. Jesus, we bless you. We love you. Father, I'm asking for an increase move of your love. Even as we heard today, it's understanding who we are, to live in the likeness of Jesus, that, Lord, your love would flow through us to people. Open the heavens this morning. Touch every heart. Lord, I pray for favor this week. Let the blessing and the favor of our gracious Papa cover each one of us, God. Let your goodness strengthen us, Lord, our relationships, our marriages, our kids, our jobs, everything that we have, Father, we ask for your love and graciousness in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. We're going to be back in here in about 15 minutes. If you need prayer, please come. Let us pray for you guys. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you.